Continuing Helen Wright's book, Mary Baker Eddy, Leader Forever. Much of the information on this was sent out by David James Nolan, the courageous chairman of the United Christian Scientists Group.
The Shadow of a Great Rock in a Weary Land. From first to last, the Mother Church seemed type and shadow of the warfare between the flesh and spirit. Even that shadow whose substance is the divine spirit, imperatively propelling the greatest moral, physical, civil, and religious reform ever known on earth. In the words of the prophet, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Pulpit and Press, page 20. Where were the other extension deeds? One of the deeds concerning the extension is shown on page 138 of the manual. But since Mrs. Eddy had purchased 13 parcels of land, where were the other vitally important deeds? Why had they been only peeked at during the 1919 to 1921 Great Litigation? Why, through insidious pressure from the hierarchy, has the field been tricked and trapped into never investigating these deeds, which only briefly, uncomprehendingly surfaced during the Great Lawsuit? Why is the scandal-scarred Boston hierarchy even today referring the sheep to the 73rd and 57th manual, incorrectly interpreting these as a basis for their claim to power? Reeling from all the adverse publicity, we see here a hierarchy scrambling in a last-ditch, dishonest effort to keep itself in the saddle through its benighted emissaries. Do you have the 73rd and 57th manual? Those who are pushing this crafty maneuver are well aware that few have these early manuals to see for themselves what they actually say. The 73rd manual refers us to subsequent manuals, not to previous manuals. Must we learn the hard way? In the matter of the pertinent deeds remaining so long hidden, could it be that Christian Scientists had to learn the hard way that turning to persons, to five personalities in Boston for guidance, instead of to divine principle as all in all, leads to disaster? Could this be why Mrs. Eddy's 10 deeds that contain her vital, indispensable, restrictive clauses that make the manual a legal instrument and solve at last the problem that has brought the great Christian Science movement to its knees, remained hidden for over 7 decades? Time tells all tales true, Mrs. Eddy was fond of saying. And today, a new understanding is being born on the Boston hierarchy's ash pile. Mrs. Eddy's 10 deeds rediscovered. In 1980, the intrepid chairman of United Christian Scientists, in search of a copy of Mrs. Eddy's signature when she was 89 years of age, was divinely led to the basement of the courthouse annex on Beacon Hill in Boston, Massachusetts. He states, quote, "In the courthouse, in the subterranean basement, I found the deed book. Everything was there exactly as it appears in our manual, but it said, 'See deeds in book so-and-so.' I found the next book under a quarter inch of dust that had been gathered all these decades. Opening it, lo and behold, here were 10 more deeds of trust." Unquote. So it came to pass that in God's own time, these deeds, hidden since their brief airing during the Great Litigation, will now play the part Mrs. Eddy intended for them. They will fulfill Mrs. Eddy's prophecy that, quote, "the manual will be acknowledged as law by law," unquote, as we shall presently show. Mrs. Eddy's 1892 Deed of Trust. In her 1892 Deed of Trust, Mrs. Eddy appointed 4 directors to look after the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston, manual page 128. They had no power over any church other than this church, the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston, and church property. They could appoint successors as long as necessary without Mrs. Eddy's consent. This 1892 deed is limited to only the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston. It does not pertain to the Mother Church, which was Mrs. Eddy's church while she was here in person to administer it. After Mrs. Eddy's departure, Christian Scientists had no further excuse for localizing the Mother Church. Mother is defined in the glossary as God, divine and eternal principle, life, truth, and love. Church is defined in the glossary as the structure of truth and love, whatever rests upon and proceeds from divine principle. Church is something the Christian Scientist is. Church is not an edifice the Christian Scientist enters and prays to become. A Tale of Two Boards. 4-member board and 5-member board, not the same. Contrary to what the earlier mentioned Los Angeles Times article states, Mrs. Eddy's manual terminated the 5-member board of directors of the Mother Church when she was no longer here. This has to be repeated ad infinitum because the field has been so thoroughly impregnated with the false notion that the board of directors is Mrs. Eddy's successor. Nothing could be further from the truth. Page 27 of the manual states, "The business of the Mother Church shall be transacted by its 5-member Christian Science Board of Directors." But 6 months after Mrs. Eddy passed on, the organizational Mother Church ended, since no office of the Mother Church could be filled without Mrs. Eddy's consent and approval. The 5-member Mother Church Board of Directors is not her successor. They had no right of successorship. Here, remember that when the church reorganized in 1892, it, quote, "reorganized under her jurisdiction," unquote. This gave Mrs. Eddy absolute power to terminate the organizational Mother Church and its 5-member board at any time. This termination took place December 3rd, and was confirmed in June of 1911, when no officer of the Mother Church could be elected without Mrs. Eddy's approval or consent, given in her own handwriting. Manual, page 25-26. Also, when a member of the 5-member board passed on a year later, he could not be replaced without Mrs. Eddy's personal approval. Manual, page 26. Here the question may be asked, who or what is Mrs. Eddy's successor? The board of directors was not her successor. Mrs. Eddy indicates that her successor is, quote, "the church universal and triumphant." Manual, page 19. Uni means one. There is only one infinite being. There is but one I or us. It is our real I. This I functions as individual and indivisible mind. It is your real mind here and now, when it is freed from hypnotic suggestion and awakened out of the Adam dream sleep. Why is it triumphant? Because it's threefold, triunity, principle, life, truth, and love, eternally constitutes our real being, so that in reality, we dwell in the consciousness of love forever. This marvelous triunity of man with God is shadowed forth in scientific thought. This has been made clear by our leader, and we find our leader in her writings. Mrs. Eddy's successor will be revealed by man, the image and likeness of the Father, Mother, God, from Miscellany. Mrs. Eddy speaks of her successor as a revelation, quote, "will reveal my successor," unquote, rather than a person, since science and health is her successor. And as we spiritually assimilate what is in science and health, we become the revelation. We each make ourselves Mrs. Eddy's successor in proportion to our, quote, "understanding and demonstration of divine truth, life, and love, healing and saving the world from sin and death, thus to reflect in some degree the church universal and triumphant." Manual, page 19. Obedience to Mrs. Eddy's manual means obeying the manual as she wrote it, not as the 5-member board of directors disobediently paid the lawyers to interpret it. To interpret it in such a way as to make the manual terminated Mother Church board of directors Mrs. Eddy's successors at her passing. This was done not in a blaze of glory, but in a sly, surreptitious way. At Mrs. Eddy's passing, the board simply announced to the press that they were Mrs. Eddy's successors. That settled it. Few were aware of the treachery being perpetrated, and so, unwittingly, became a part of the ecclesiastical soap opera that has continued to the present day. A third step towards terminating organization, the temporary fifth director. In 1902, Mrs. Eddy asked, in essence, that temporarily, while she was present with us to govern the Mother Church, her church, Mother's Church, a fifth director be appointed. This temporary board was appointed to transact the business of the Mother Church under Mrs. Eddy's jurisdiction. To distinguish this temporary board from the legal 4-member board that would care for the First Church of Christ Scientist Boston when Mrs. Eddy was no longer here, Mrs. Eddy added a fifth director, namely Archibald McClellan. Adding a fifth director was another step in Mrs. Eddy's plan to terminate organization at her passing. This temporary 5-member board did not have the right to appoint successors. See the manual, page 26, section 5. It could not fill a vacancy on that board without Mrs. Eddy's approval. Note, they shall fill a vacancy on that board after the candidate is approved by the pastor emeritus. By terminating, when she was no longer here, the 5-member board who transacted the business of the Mother Church, we can see how Mrs. Eddy was laying plans for terminating all centralized control. The only bylaw the board of directors wanted changed. The above-mentioned bylaw, page 26 of the manual, regarding the termination of the 5-member board, when Mrs. Eddy was no longer here to give her approval, was the only bylaw the directors pleaded with Mrs. Eddy to change. But she firmly declared that God had dictated that bylaw estoppel. Mrs. Eddy, discerning her board of directors' thoughts, frequently chided and rebuked them for seeing her, as we today might say, quote, with one foot in the grave and another on a banana peel, unquote. She urged them to hold her in thought as vigorous, valiant, and victorious over the creeping things. This estoppel that the 5-member board complained about, along with the other estoppels, was of course Mrs. Eddy's God-given answer concerning how to set the Christian Science movement free from material organization. When with her bylaw estoppel clauses, she terminated all central control, she set every Christian Scientist free to follow her teachings as given in her writings, the second coming of the Christ. What and where is our leader? Mrs. Eddy said, quote, those who look for me in person or elsewhere than in my writings lose me instead of find me. Miscellany, page 120. We find our leader only in her writings. But wait. Mrs. Eddy tells us, my book is not all you know of me, also from Miscellany. What did she mean? Here Mrs. Eddy confides, I have a secret to tell you and a question to ask. Do you know how much I love you and the nature of this love? No. Then my sacred secret is incommunicable and we live apart. But yes, and this inmost something becomes articulate, and my book is not all you know of me. But your knowledge, with its magnitude of meaning, uncovers my life, even as your heart has discovered it. The spiritual bespeaks our temporal history. Unquote. As we become real and consecrated warriors, giving ourselves wholly and irrevocably to the great work of establishing the truth necessary for the salvation of the world, we grow in the spiritual understanding of her books and her life. This adds a new dimension to what we know of her. Reading between the lines, we see her life is depicted in the chapter Atonement and Eucharist in Science and Health. In a conversation with a spiritually minded dear friend, he decoded Mrs. Eddy's cryptic prophecy and sacred secret substantially as follows. If we know how much she loves us, then we know something that we have learned other than what is in her books. We have found her elsewhere than in her writings. But where? In our qualification for church membership, it says, quote, "The Bible, together with Science and Health and other works by Mrs. Eddy, shall be our only textbooks for self-instruction in Christian Science." Manual, page 34. While Miss Lenny, page 120, tells us we find her only in her writings, yet here she tells us she has a sacred secret, namely, "My book is not all you know of me." Where else do we find her? Where else do we learn about our leader other than in her writings? Obviously, in the Bible. There is our answer to the great Blissnap controversy raging today. Is she fulfilling Bible prophecy? Am I not fulfilling the prophecy of the woman of the apocalypse, she's asking? I have a secret, she's telling us, and affirming, if you know my love for you, you will know it too. So it is not only in our leader's writings that we find her. We find her in the sacred scriptures. And on the previous page, Miss Lenny, page 132, she tells us, "Oh, may this hour be prolific, and at this time and in every heart, may there come this benediction. Thou hast no longer to appeal to human strength, to strive with agony." Then Mrs. Eddy states unequivocally, "I am thy deliverer." Only the Christ can say that, but she came as close to saying that as anyone possibly could. "I am thy deliverer." The second coming of the Christ, which she brought, is our deliverer. Those of us who have experienced wonderful healings in Christian Science through reading the textbook or through the work of Christian Science practitioners know what this means. We are grateful for this second coming of the Christ that Mrs. Eddy's writings brought. We know what was our deliverer. Mrs. Eddy's statement, "I am thy deliverer," is truly a revelation, because in all Christian history, the only deliverer, redeemer, was Jesus Christ. But here Mary Baker Eddy is telling all mankind, "I am thy deliverer." Jesus said the Comforter would complete his work on earth and reveal all truth. The woman, as Jeremiah prophesied, shall compass a man. Her work completes that of Christ Jesus. It is now through Mary Baker Eddy that mankind receives eternal salvation through her completion of the work of Christ Jesus, as he himself said, the Comforter, Science, would do.